Welcome to the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper Podcast. My name is Jay Shalansky and joining me as always is Evan Bulris.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
It's going great.
I always want to answer you when you say it's going great.
I got to change my sign on. I want to keep my sign off. I'm going to do a few different ones throughout the next few episodes and maybe we'll rate them.
Okay. I like it.
We'll scale one to
we'll
bad.
Put a poll up on the website or something fun. All right. So this is usually where we do our housekeeping. So I'm going to do that. First thing I want to mention is we're changing the format of our podcast. And basically what it's going to be is we're going to try to cover more stuff, be less meandering. And we're going to have different sections of the podcast that are for different things. And so, you know, you'll know them in the future as we've got a couple of these under our belts. We're going to have some cool intro outros for them. And we're just really trying to shake things up a little bit and just be different and innovative and hopefully bring you guys the best content and podcast we can bring you. And so today's our first go at this. And so we're, you know, that's, you're gonna hear it over the next few episodes and you'll get used to it. So
the idea is eventually we can do like time marks.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. So you can say, hey, here's a time mark for this segment. So you can just go, and if you have to revisit an episode, if you want to listen to us retalk about something or get evidence of why we're wrong, or you know what? Whatever you want to do. It's cool. It's what America, right?
Yeah, you really expanded that there.
I tried.
Not everybody who listens to us from America.
It's North America.
We got a very international audience.
It's planet Earth, man. Do what you want, right? Live your best life.
Okay. All of the not America. I'm sorry.
Take it easy, Evan.
Okay, so this part of the cast is going to be our housekeeping section. So the few things that we have right now that we'd like to cover are, of course, the thing we've been covering for weeks and weeks and weeks and telling you about is the Northeast Open. If you haven't seen yet, we are officially sponsored by the Army Painter.
That's cool.
Yeah. They're going to be sending us a ton of stuff, cool prizes. I can't wait for you guys to see that. The other thing is, if you haven't seen, Luke Eddy, one of the developers of Legion, will be at the Northeast Open. You'll be able to meet him, ask him questions, talk to him. He's not going to be able to tell you stuff about the future or what's coming out, but if you have questions about units that are already out or anything really, or you just want to know what makes Luke tick, I'm sure he would love to hear from you. And you know, so you'll get to meet him. With that, we're actually going to be doing a randomly selected dinner. So those of you that are attending the Northeast Open will be able to attend a dinner Saturday night. Some of you, whoever we randomly select, and you'll be able to meet Luke and Evan and myself and the Notorious Scoundrels. That's not to say you won't be able to meet us through the weekend, but most of the weekend we're going to be busy doing the stream, running the event. But at the dinner, it's going to be free food, free booze. Like, you come, you hang out with us, you know, chat with some of the other players. It's just going to be a really good time for everybody to kind of chill and have fun. Also, I'd like to take this opportunity and really thank some of our sponsors that haven't really gotten a lot of feedback yet because, well, they're doing the terrain and they're currently working on the terrain. And so hopefully in the next week, I'll be able to send out some love to them, but I wanted to do it on the podcast. Imperial Terrain, Dave over at Imperial Terrain, he's doing a bunch of tables for us. They're going to be at the show. He's shown me some early pictures. A couple are completed. They look amazing. And for those of you that are going to be at the show, some of Dave's tables, as well as some of the other tables that we'll have at the show, will actually be for sale. So you could walk away from Northeast Open and buy one of these fully painted, fully decorated with a mat, everything, just a full table. You can walk away with a full table for a specified dollar amount.
That's really cool, because that's what I think about when I'm piecing one together online.
Yeah.
You know, I want this, I want that, and I'm like, it'd be nice if I could just here's everything, right?
Right.
Built, done, painted.
Yeah, and that's absolutely going to be the case. Dave's going to have some terrain from Imperial Terrain that'll be available. And then also the guys from Legion Terrain have also provided some terrain as well. And they're going to have a couple tables that they built specifically for our mud mat and for our salt planet mat.
Salt
planet. And so Rob and Jason over at Legion Terrain, you know, if you don't know who they are, they got an Etsy shop. They've got like the downed, like X-Wing, the downed, I know I'm borrowing from what FFG's doing, the downed AT-ST, but they've got the ruined X-Wing, the ruined TIE Fighter, the ruined AT-AT.
Yep.
So they got a bunch of really cool terrain. They're expanding. They're coming up with a bunch of other really neat stuff, and so we will have two full tables of their stuff. Those will also be for sale at the Northeast Open. So not only can you play on it, check it out, come look at it, but then you can actually just walk away with it. Our man Jim Martin, who was on the podcast a few episodes ago talking about terrain and building terrain and the hobby aspect, he's going to have three or four tables there as well. I can tell you that all these tables are going to be insane, especially Jim's. And where a lot of other terrain makers, and we talked about this when Jim was on, when I interviewed him, a lot of other terrain makers are focused on, you know, how the terrain functions within Legion. Jim is too, but he's also focused on the beauty of the tables and making them as realistic to, well, the fake worlds, right, that are out there. Yeah. And so I think you guys, I've seen some preliminary designs and some of the work, and those look amazing. And then the last thing that we want to go over, Ladies of Legion, the Facebook page that Rachel started for any of your significant others that don't play the game. We've got a whole Ladies of Legion page for them where they can go talk. Rachel's got a bunch of significant others on there already, and she said it's been going great. I don't ask her specifically what they talk about because I don't want to know. It's none of my business. That's why the page is there for them, and so they've been doing well.
Yeah, cool.
So, all right, we're going to move into our next section.
News from the week in Legion.
So this in for Legion news for the past week. We had the World Championship on Saturday and Sunday at Fantasy Flight Games. And spoiler alert, I'm going to give you the World Champion. So if you don't want to know who that is, you can turn it off for a second. So Luke Cook, what took the championship?
Turns out he's super good at the game.
Yep, one of the boys from up here in New York. He's the guy. He's your world champ for this year. There will be an interview on Notorious Scoundrels Thursday with Luke, and so you can hear him and Kyle, who was second place, who was in the final with Luke. You can hear them talk about that.
Kyle did amazing too, man.
Yeah. Like,
there's nothing. Being second is just as good as being first. Like, I mean, really top two, sure. Right? Like,
yeah, they were all like all eight players were great.
Yeah.
Okay, so further news out of Legion this week. FFG OP announced the Grand Championship OP prizes. So included in that, it looks like Black Dice. They only showed one, but I'm assuming it's going to be more for the champion.
I think it's just a commemorative die. I don't think it's actually like dice to roll. Because it's got the shield surge as well as the hit surge and a hit.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just like a cool, like, you did it.
Oh, okay. So commemorative die, yep. I guess. They're also going to be giving out best painted army coins for first, second, and third. There will be a card tray for the top two. We saw that at Adepticon. Order tokens for the top four. Those looked interesting. It looks like they're going to put the year on them.
Yeah, those actually what we were talking about earlier. Like, man, don't put a symbol on it. Just put the year on it. Yeah. Right? Like, so that way it means something to the guy using it, and then you have a reason to get the next year's one.
It's almost as if they listen to the podcast.
Nice. You can have that idea for free.
Yeah. Then it looks like a plethora of tokens for top eight. They had some suppression in there. They had Sabine's graffiti tokens in the picture.
Yeah, it'd be cool to get those acrylic.
Yeah.
Cool to win those.
Full art cards of the Pathfinders and Death Troopers for the top 16. Yep. I'm going to make an assumption here.
Probably double-sided.
I don't know, because the recent kits that we just saw at a local tournament had were singles, right? So it was the...
Yeah, single double-sided with two different
things.
It was
very odd, right? Yeah. So I don't know how those are going to look. So then for full art command cards, by faction for the top 16.
Yeah, I saw that. So they're doing that with X-Wing, like you get different prizes. So it's cool to get... I mean, the collector in me is real sad that if I go with one army, like I want both, right? Yeah. So like I won't get one, but like it's still cool. Like that's awesome.
Yeah, and I like that they're doing both factions because at Adepticon it was just Palpatine.
Yep.
And like,
yep.
So if you're a Rebel player and you were in the top whatever at Adepticon, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Thanks.
You didn't, you know, you got Palpatine. Then they also have full art Bosk and Sabine for the top 64.
Yep, those are cool.
So that's cool. In other news for Star Wars Legion for this past week, it looks like Sabine and Bosk should be from all our sources that we have. They should be out this week, Thursday or Friday. So those, and I've heard as well that the downed AT-ST in the U.S. will be available as well this week.
Yeah, I pre-ordered Sabine and Bosk. And I think I'm probably just going to pick up a downed AT-ST too.
Yeah, I think I pre-ordered all of them.
So. I'm a Legion whale, right? Yeah. Like, and it comes out, I'm like, I'll take all your entire stock. But the more I think about it, the more I want that downed AT-ST.
Agreed. I think I'm going to get a couple. I like how it looks. I know it's a little expensive, but I think it'll be worth it.
Honestly, $40 for a Star Wars piece of terrain, okay.
Yeah, no, agree completely. All right, so that's it for Legion news this week. Okay, and now everybody for a segment we're calling Ground Crew.
Ground Crew! Ground Crew! Can you hear me?
This is kind of a segment where I can do a one-off rant. Jay is still going to be in the conversation, which is fine because it's going to be me kind of maybe taking a hot take or an opinion I think about the game. Nothing I say represents the Fifth Trooper as a whole. Just saying that around, like, there's two of us, right? But, you know, if Jay doesn't like something, he'll kick back and we'll have a conversation about it. But as everyone who plays X-Wing knows, points update today. I'm not going to go over those, but just keep that in mind, points update. But so I started thinking about it because on the stream for the Worlds, you know, Alex Davies like, yeah, we know the T-47's just a little overcosted. And I started thinking about it, like, hey, what if Legion got a points update? So I went through every card I could see, and I picked ones that I think most of them are going to be pretty unanimously Yev and no duh. Those need a...
If I can jump in real quick, for our audience members who don't play X-Wing, could you maybe just explain how X-Wing does...
Yes. So X-Wing has an app. It doesn't have points on cards, so no points are listed on the ships. The reason for that is because what happened in 1.0, you couldn't... They never wanted to change the text on a card, and that's what they made that... Precisely with Legion 2, you should always be able to trust the card. Besides minor errata, things like that. I have a feeling in the future they're going to hit the app with Legion. Makes sense that they say, you know what? Just forget the points cost on them. Maybe the points are just like, if you want to play out of the box, you want to use the app, use those. But if you got to go to a tournament, something like that. So what happens with X-Wing is they'll release a new points update to rebalance ships. Like, hey, like, for example, one ship in the meta of that game was they'd run four of them, four Phantoms. They're real good, hard to beat. They raise the price of all of them and raise the price of the upgrade. You can still play them and they're still good, but like that four thing's not going to happen anymore. Or certain things they can address, like in X-Wing, because none of the upgrades are on the app either, on the card, I mean. So they can be like, you know what? Maybe Pathfinders needs a extra troop slot, not a specialist slot, something like that. So that's what they do. Everything's in the app. And so every 6 months, they do a points update. This is the summer points update to refresh the game, keep from getting stale. Luckily, Legion doesn't really have that problem. Because after I went through all the cards, like I thought I was going to find a lot more that I had opinions on. You know, but this also brings a point, like when you look at everyone's winning lists at the Worlds, they all had like three snipers. Minus a Palp, I think only had two maybe. Two snipers and something else, but they more or less all had three if they weren't taking a Death Trooper squad or something. You know, many people are like, hey, they should do something about that. And I thought about it and I'm like, well, I mean, I think Endless put it very poignantly, saying they're very binary in his. It's either they hit or they don't. It's one or the other. So I'm not super worried about snipers. Yeah, they could probably go up a little bit because shoving three in a list, any list I make now that I want to take seriously, like if I play AJ, it runs three snipers because it's three more activations to at least get to a certain point. That's probably a problem, but that's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about today is some cards that need some points adjustments. So the only upgrade card I found that I thought was out of line, I was really surprised. I went through all the force powers. They all see play. They're all pretty good. And they're all about right. Like force push, really good. Really powerful card. Force reflexes, really good. Really powerful card. Pointed right. The only one I saw that I thought I could use an adjustment is targeting scopes. Probably from 6 to 4, I think. 4 puts it in line with everything else. Everything else is at 4. I get having a extra reroll is good, but it's 6 points. And who are you taking that on? Like, who would use it?
Yeah, I would argue maybe 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. It gives you precise 1. But the fact that that's taking up a slot that you can put, you know, emergency stims or... environmental gear or something that's very, very useful. I mean, even like grappling hooks is like 3 points or 2 points or something like, and that's even like more situational. So targeting scopes is the only one I saw. So again, this list is pretty small, but that speaks to the game, right? That it's not, I don't have a list. Like I'm like, well, here's my list of just the rebels. What I think needs change. So moving on, troop add-ons. So this is pretty much every tap additional trooper that taps to shoot an ion. Ion stinks right now because A, vehicles aren't really seeing play. Yeah, tank's real good. Tank's real good. Speeder's real good. That's about it. I've got the spoiler alert, ATST and the T-47 are later on this little list. But all the tap ones, so a Rebel Trooper MPL-57 ion grenade launcher is 32 points. A group of Rebels is 40. So I could take 2 groups of Rebels, increasing my activation count, and arguably being better for most every objective, or I could take 1 Ion add-on. And the problem with Ion is it's so, you know, I'll use Endless's word again, binary. Like, if they don't have any vehicles, it's kind of trash. If they do, okay, maybe I gotta, you know, maybe it's good, but it's such a hard counter, and you pay so much for it, that if you run into a guy who doesn't have a vehicle, it feels like super wasted points. Like, that's a whole other squad you get ahead. So same argument for the Fleet Trooper, MPL-57 Barrage Trooper. It's 33 points. Same thing. The shotgun's just so much better in pretty much every situation. Because that's Pierce. You get 1 crit, Pierce crit on a vehicle. Don't worry about it. The Barrage is just weird. So those two, I don't know how to fix them in points. I'm going to say maybe put them more in line with the other guns, so like a Z6 is 22 points, I think. So maybe make it like 26. And for the MPL, the other Barrage Trooper for the fleets, like I think the shotgun's like 22 points, or it's something around there, 22, 24. Maybe make it like 26. Because right now the tap ability, your action economy is so important. Heroes can take standbys once in a while because their abilities that come back are so powerful. Units in the field, you need them moving. You need them moving or shooting, right? Like, they have to be moving around. Very rarely. I mean, top-level play aside, I'm not a top-level player. You know, when you see their top games, like, nobody moves, right? It's like the first guy who moves, and then the whole, you know, it's like watching high-level judo or jiu-jitsu. Like, it's like silence and stillness until somebody falls. I'm not that guy. So, like, seeing them move around, like, those cards just look underused. Now, for the other hand, on the Imperial side, Stormtroopers have the HH-12 rocket launcher. Yeah. Jay, you've had some experience with that, right?
Yeah, early on when the ATST was a lot more prevalent, I decided to take it. And then I showed up to a tournament and no one brought ATST. Like, it was just like overnight. Like, I don't know if you remember that.
It was Buffalo. Yeah.
And it was like, I was already, I had the HH-12. I'm like, oh, they're going to get it now. And then no one had one. And I was like, okay, this was a mistake. And then... expertly got my butt kicked.
That was the same game that you hit 6 hits with Vader on a Boba Fett,
yeah,
and he natted all of them out, even the impervious. That was an interesting day. That was a rough day for Jay. But it's 34 points, I'm sorry, for a 3 black, 2 to 4 cumbersome tap. I don't know what world that's, because it's the cumbersome that kills you, so you can't move and make a play. and like, oh, just fire it, right? Like, I get it. It's a heavy weapon, right? So if it's going to be a heavy weapon, like, they got to move it, they got to sit, they got to aim, right? I get why it's cumbersome, but the payoff just isn't there. It's very rare a unit in a game can just say aim, fire, or recover. So it's recover fire. Not even you get to, like, aim and fire. So you need Veers or a officer to hand an aim to try to make it get some hits in. I don't know. That's got to go down. Like, again, like, I think 26 is my magic number for a lot of these. Just to even see it hit the table. Like, again, that's 34 points. A group of stormtroopers is 44. A DLT is 24. DLT is pretty much better in every circumstance. I think it has impact 3, I want to say, or impact 2. It's got quite a bit. But the DLT has got impact 1. Like, it's, and it shoots, you know, 2 red more reliably to get 2 hits. And it's range 4. Like, right, it just is better in every way. I think that's the most disparaging one out of all of them I was reading. The last one's the Snowtrooper, the T7 Ion. I think some people consider it the worst miniature in the game. Not particularly because it's tied to Snowtroopers, maybe it is, but it's just the dice layout. It's like range 1 to 2, Ion maybe. Again, that's 34 points. That's another set of Snowtroopers that are just better naked than having that. Again, 26, I think, is the number. Because these are all tap abilities, remember. Again, like a hero like Sabine or Luke or Vader will never need to take a recover, but any other hero can take a recover because they get all these abilities back. They throw all that suppression away. You know, they're ready to go. Or your troopers really need to be doing stuff. So I don't like them. Maybe if, you know, they hinted at some points adjustments or some vehicles things coming to help them out. So maybe these will be better, but I really think they need to go down. The last two, actually, last two are the T-47 and AT-ST. I get these are the two Gen 1 vehicles. I got one more after this, so it's last three. Right, and this list just keeps
math
going.
Math is hard.
I know, right? This list just keeps going. So I get they were scared about vehicles because that's a big... If they're too good, then everyone's running T-47s or two AT-ST, so you can't put them too low. But the problem is I think they guessed a little too high. Right, like the airspeeder is better with the cover guy, the outer rim speed jockey, but then it's up to 185 without a back weapon. And thank God they changed the broken weapon mechanics, so you're not rolling and seeing you lose your gun completely, so you're just a flying, you know, garbage heap. Points cost, I don't, you know, these are all hot takes, so feel free to, you know, have a conversation with me about them, because I'm more than happy to. Yeah, I know, right? Feel free to have a conversation with me about them. T-47, I want to say 130. I think that's quite, you know, because a decked out airspeeder, the T or the whatever, 30, yeah, whatever.
Land speeder.
Is about 160 decked out. Okay. That's with everything. And that can shoot a rocket 360. That can, you know, move 3 times. That can carry a guy. So I'm giving some points credence to those. But I think because you could do this with a ground buzzer. I'm not even talking about touching the ground buzzer. This with a ground buzzer for about 150.
Hmm.
And so you could fly two of them for 300. And because sometimes they just die. Like they go down, man. It's even with the cover guy. But the cover guy just makes them, you can, if you want the cover guy, 160. Right. And you're about at what the airspeeder is. So I think that's probably adjustment. And the AT-ST, maybe just like 10 points. Mm-hmm. So you can put, there'd be a reason to put Weiss on, because otherwise the move and shoot guy or the, because right now, the move and shoot guy, the free aim, I forget his name, Amran, Lieutenant Amran, maybe don't quote me on that, or the Imperial Hammer pilot, I know that one. He's 10 points and he gets surge to hit. There's no reason to never, he's 5 points or something. Like, there's no reason to never take him 5 or 10 points. He's totally worth every little bit he is.
Yeah.
So he's totally worth at 10 points, where Weiss is cool because you can just open up, but you're going to see a lot of those surges are going to make feel real bad because they're just as good as misses. So I don't think the AT-ST is too off, especially with little 8-point free repair droids more or less come around. So those two are good. So my last one, Pathfinders. Pathfinders have a rough spot because they came out right with Death Troopers, right? And Death Troopers, you look at their card for, and built out both, if you built them both out with a like a superior leader and general upgrades, they're about the same points. But Death Troopers get Ready 1, Precise 2, Dauntless, I think, or no, the keyword that lets them, when they get issued an order, they get to remove a stress.
This is a great question, Evan.
That particular keyword I don't remember. For Death Troopers.
Well, keep going. I'll look it up.
Okay. So Death Troopers get all these awesome keywords and the access to the DL-19, right? So they get all that great stuff. Plus they have Entourage, so you can take an extra one.
The Pathfinders have Dauntless.
Correct. It's the, I know I'm just stumbling on air here. Right, I'm killing it. I'm blowing it.
No, it's fine. They have Disciplined One.
That's it. So they have those three unique keywords, which are great in just about any situation. Turns out having Krennic issue you a standby is real good. So you get a free aim if you don't want to use it. Yeah. So you get all that great stuff. You surge on red dice, you on attack and defense for red dice on attack for melee, which is crazy good. And you get a DLT 19, which shoots two red and a white for about the same as Pathfinder with POW or Piston. They are not the same, right? They are just not the same. So yeah, Pathfinder's can deploy anywhere and they can take the gun to shoot 1-4, but it's white dice. So you throw in like, and Powell was 1-4, but it's red and a white. So you're throwing like these really not good feeling attacks out. And when you get shot back, you have white dice and you've got danger sense, but you're rolling more white dice. And yeah, they surge and you're rolling more, but Death Troopers are just, I've seen Death Troopers tank, right? Like they don't care. And I've seen Pathfinders just die. So I don't know how to fix them. I don't know if there is a fix. Maybe someone will unlock them. I'm going to be playing with them a lot more, especially with POW. I think Bastan's really good. And you notice I didn't put him in the points adjustment because I think he's a full army shooting by himself. He's a black and like 3 or 4 white to tap and get an eye on and impact. I think that's correct because you get a lot out of that. It's not just 2 red hoping for it. I think their upgrade commanders are correct. It's just their core unit probably needs to come down a little bit. Because if I had to pick one of those two units saying you could have either one in your army, there's no reason I would never go Death Troopers, right? They're just pretty much better in every way compared to them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they have Dauntless, which you can like move through a suppression. Again, Krennic just gives that to his guys for free anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's really, it's hard to make an argument for him. Because I really have that dream of having Jin and like 2 Pathfinder groups. Like you deploy half your army somewhere else and the other half somewhere else and you can pincer people. But they just die. Like DLTs and things eat them alive. So I don't know the answer to that one. Maybe go down. Actually, my suggestion was their configuration is 6 points, make it free. And that cuts them down 6 points. And so you can get POW, your troopers, and like an upgrade or 2 for about 100. And that's not too bad. That's about an airspeeder bike with long range comms, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been rambling a lot through this part. This is just my stream of consciousness when I was thinking about this. But again, like the problem is if Pathfinders came out alongside any other Imperial unit, it wouldn't be compared so hard.
Yeah, and I think people haven't figured out how to play Jin and Pathfinders.
They're really rough, man. Like I've tried a lot. Like Dauntless is such... Like, well, the more white dice add to defense, sometimes they don't, man. Like white dice are not... Like you should never hope that you tank with white dice. Red Death Troopers... Sabine coming out, Vader with a reflect. Those guys, you can be like, they're going to tank a shot. They might take a couple damage, but they're going to be okay. Pathfinders, even with 3, they just evaporate sometimes. Yeah. So I'm going to try playing with them more. This past weekend, I played a double Wookiee, land speeder, Leia Z6 list. I felt Wookiees were kind of bad. I came in second, but that doesn't like, when playing them, people are way more scared of them than they actually should be. You know, there's going to be some guy who's going to be telling me I'm crazy, but they just don't, I ran into some IA and the IA guys ripped me apart. Imperial Guard, I'm sorry, IGs ripped me apart. I ran into, Luke got to me first, ripped him apart. I even ran into some Rebel Trooper melee, took 2 or 3 turns to melee him down. My rolls were like a little bit below average, but they don't have pierce. So if you block, you just block. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about that, especially with the new points release. And it was interesting to hear on the stream today, Max Brooks and Brooke, I don't remember his last name, the other designer, talk about like design reasons why they did stuff. And, you know, Alex Davies is very open about, you're like, hey, why does, you know, why do fleet troopers have ready? He's like, well, in the beginning of the movie, they got ready for Vader and everyone to come in. So that makes sense thematically. I'm like, oh, yeah. So there's sometimes I would like to understand, like, how Pathfinders, like what's their thematic sense? Like how should they be played in his mind? And that's not to be taken away. Just like, how does he see them being used?
I think we brought it up on the Adepticon stream, Tim. Did you? Yeah, I did. I said, he didn't get too in-depth, but I said something to, well, they should be treated like guerrilla warfare. So, like, I don't think that they should ever be out of line of sight blocking terrain. Yeah. I think they should always be hiding.
Yeah.
They should be sneaking through the terrain to get to objectives and stuff. And I think that's how they need to be used. And maybe held back more than people hold him back. But I don't know. You know, I'd have to play him to get more. But he was like, that's right. Like in Rogue One. And I was like, okay. So that kind of got me thinking. But I still haven't seen. Even our friend Nick, who plays Jin, he's good at Jin. He's not great at Jin. He's just good at Jin.
Yeah.
And because it's just not there yet.
Yeah, I don't.
There's something missing.
I don't see it, right? Yep. That's the thing. So I thought about. You know, we'll wrap the segment up, but just a couple final thoughts here. Thought about teaming up with the airspeeder, and so the land speeder, can fly up beside them if they deploy deep. And so you can, my goal for that is to get half your army one side, half your army in the other. So you can almost be like any of those deployments that are funky, like disarray. Like you can just do that yourself. Like half my army's over here, half my army's here. You got to pick, right? I think that's what I want for them. But I just don't know. So I'm going to cut this off. I got one shout out. It's a good one.
Okay.
Pretty much.
If it was a bad one, I would have been upset. Go for it.
Zachary Berry, you're super good at this game. And thank you. That's from the ground crew.
We're doing it wrong.
Okay, so this is the revamp segment. If you've been listening for a while, we used to do We're Doing It Wrong. So we're going to pick that back up. And basically, we're going to be talking about lists, units, things we're doing wrong, things we're doing right, terrain, and we'll use this segment to talk about all of those. So today, I'd like to start off about talking about standby. So I played a game earlier in the week, last week actually, and against actually Chris Cook, and he did this thing with standby that, you know how sometimes you know something's true in the back of your head? But like until you see it, you're like, what in the good God was that?
Yeah.
So what had happened was Chris had put a Z6 squad. I think he had a unit leader and a Z6 left. He put them in standby. He knew I was coming around the corner. I had to, right, for the objective. I brought a stormtrooper squad around the corner. I'm like, no worries. He's going to shoot at him. We're behind cover. We'll probably be okay. He didn't shoot. He moved into melee combat and tied him up. And I didn't see it coming, and it was super frustrating, and it blew my mind.
I've never seen anybody use standby to move, right?
No.
Like they always shoots with it.
Yes, and he did exactly the right thing, and it was a perfect move, but it was just so out there and innovative, even though it's part of the rule set. I didn't see it coming, and honestly, I had to look it up in the rules book because I was like, what? And even though I knew in the back of my head, like I remember reading that once and going, oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
And then never thinking about it again, because how often do you have guys in standby? And so it was just crazy. I'd never seen anything like it. And so it just brought it up that, you know, so with standby, once and after an enemy unit attacks, moves, or performs any action, if that unit is at range 1 to 2 and in line of a sight with the unit with a standby token, the unit with the standby token can spend it to perform a free attack action or a free move action.
So, right, you know, like we were talking about this a little bit earlier before we got on the cast. Standby is the most underrated and overrated ability.
Yeah.
Like, period. It never, most of the time when I'm using it, it always feels wrong. Because if you get a suppression, you lose your standby token. So you can't put them out. You don't want to put somebody out who's just going to get shot by a DLT or a group of Pathfinders and just lose it. But on the other hand, man, sometimes when someone like, standbys a bunch of guys around a wall, you're like, oh, okay, I'm not going there, I guess.
Yeah. And so it was just really interesting. So I thought I would bring that up is that, you know, just remember with standby that it can be an attack action or a move action.
Yeah, I totally forget about the move every time. Maybe that's the secret to Wookiees. Move up standby and then just charge them.
Yeah. So this next one actually comes from our friends from Miami. This goes out to Matt, JJ, and Ed. Basically, what it is understanding how Entourage, Comms Link, or Battle Meditation all work, okay?
Okay.
So with Entourage, with the Entourage keyword, I can give in order to, so let's say with Krennic and Death Troopers, right? The entourage keyword eliminates their position as a support unit to your cost of your overall build of your army, right? So yes, now you can put an extra support unit in outside of the limit. But then also Entourage gives that unit a free order token at the beginning of the turn.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So they get a free order token. That is the Entourage ability. So if I have comms link on a Death Trooper, when they're issued the order, I can then move that to another.
Correct. Yep. You can shoot it away.
So the difference with this is with Battle Meditation, it says that you have to give the unit an order token that was on the command card. So what happens is Entourage, like I believe in the way the stack is, Entourage is simultaneous and it's not part of the command card.
Correct, because command card doesn't say specifically to that unit.
Right.
This is as far as I know. Again, choose an email if we're wrong. So I was always playing it wrong. I always thought you had to give Krennic the order and then Death Troopers got the free move. Cause I thought, well, that makes sense. That's fair. No, Entourage is real good.
Yeah.
I don't think people use it enough with IA. Right. I mean, IG Imperial Guard with like,
I love how I just said, right. I wasn't even actually listening to you. I'm just like, right.
It's fine. with Palpatine, but, no, it's very interesting.
Yeah. And so, what is happening is, so with Battle Meditation, the errata reads, while you are issuing orders using a command card, you may issue one of those orders to any friendly unit on the battlefield instead of a unit indicated on the command card. So that doesn't work with the comm link because you're issuing from the command card to a different unit. So you can't change it again. So that's basically the answer there.
Gotcha.
And so so those are those two things. And then, Evan, why don't you talk about Wookiees a little bit?
Yeah, so
Let's talk about your tact. So just real quick, what you ran, give us your whole list.
Okay.
Your tactics going in, how it didn't work, and what you think would have worked.
Okay, so I was determined to run Wookiees at this event because I'm like, no one plays them. I've got two sets. Let's go.
Let's do it.
And I didn't want to run snipers. I wanted to see if I could win without snipers. That was my big thing. So I brought, I think it was like 5 Z6 squads. Leia, just Leia. And then two sets of Wookiees with a bowcaster, Tenacity, and the Scout 1 upgrade. Recon Intel. And then a Land Speeder just decked out like the non-ion front cannon. That's like 34 points. The rocket launcher, Twi'lek, which is like 36 or something. Even Greedo, the 9-point extra gunner, I put him on there. And I loaded this thing up. Oh, and then the Outer Rim Speed Jockey, or I just said like 9 different words for him, 9 different Star Wars words. The guy that gives him an extra cover 1, so he's got cover 2. Winners of the list, that's Speeder. Good golly, if you haven't tried it out yet, it can put out some damage, and it doesn't really take it. You'd think armor 2 is like, oh man, it's not enough, but with cover 2 plus armor 2, they've got to get 5 normal hits in to hit you. That's not including if you took a dodge, because sometimes I'd just move, dodge, shoot. So that's 6 hits you got to get in to get me. And then someone shoots a DLT, and I'm like, cover 2.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, impact, I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Cover removes it before, so nothing. So that was the plus. The minus were the Wookiees. I really... Maybe one Wookiee and some extra stuff would go well. Two Wookiees just felt really wimpy. I always wanted to shoot with them because I had the Pierce 1 more than I wanted to melee with them. Because melee was just always not super fulfilling. You'd get in there, you'd roll a bunch of black dice, then they'd roll out of it, or they'd only take like 2 damage, and then they'd get hit back and just evaporate because they just have the t-shirt. They don't even have the t-shirt and pants saved. They don't surge on those white dice. No pants. Wookiees don't wear pants, Jay.
No. I've seen a few in my time.
They barely wear shirts, but... and so their evade dice are bad. Yeah, they have 3 hit points apiece, but man, like even behind cover, sometimes they just take 2 or 3 damage just because IG Imperial Guard just feels so much better. Like I thought I could tangle with them, cause I tried to time up and the IG just tore me apart. Cause I'd roll attack. I got like 5 hits in, he would take 1 and then he'd roll red black, red, black, red, black, red, black, black, back, and just kill them. And I'm like, what happened? I hit first, right? That should be the engagement. As I charge you, take out a couple. Then it just didn't happen. Being able to climb and, you know, unhindered is great, but it all depends on your board. Not all boards are going to be city boards like the one I was playing on.
Yep.
So I can't just abuse it. And that's actually the problem with their abilities, is you're paying for those two movement abilities, but some maps are just like open barricades, right? Like Wookiees get eaten alive if they're out in the open. They just die. So you got to hide them all the time, but you're hiding like 100 and something point unit. They should be able to move a little bit. Didn't really care for him. Leia's still good. Spoiler alert. She's still great. Wookiees just weren't like as much points I dumped into him. I even had situations where there's a big piece of terrain on the map, so it kind of forced us into a smaller area, and I still felt like Luke got to him and killed him. And I thought, well, they'll be able to hang with Luke a little bit. No, he just ate him alive. It was like six, then six. And I'm like, okay, well, they're dead. And I was even having a hard time killing a rebel unit with him because my attack dice were just a little lower than average on one of them. So it was rough because I put so much in. People were scared of him. Like, oh, God, I got to stay away from those Wookiees. But when I actually got to people, I'm like, didn't matter. I like it. When I think, like, oh, you should stay away from them, too. And I'm moving to melee, and I'm like, nah, you're fine. They're just a guy to tie us up. So I don't know. I didn't put them on my points list because I wasn't – again, I only had three games. The first time I played them was at this event. I played three games. I lost to Jay. Jay was playing Flyboys, and I was too scared to move my other group into fight with Luke. And Jay just had Han, who was just having his way with these Wookiees. So I was just really surprised that they did, you know, granted, I may not have played them well. I thought I did. I thought I played them good enough to get the use out of them. But if you have to put more skill than I have into them, I don't think they're there right now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we briefly talked about this earlier where I think with your list, they were the focal point of your list. And I think they can't be. I think they're a support unit at best. And, you know, so that happens. But, you know, so talking about my Flyboys list, I did write an article last week or the week before about Flyboys and how I was going to start playing it and kind of some of my tactics. So I've noticed, too, as I've kind of evolved with playing them, my tactics shift a little bit, too. And as Evan saw, I've started to use Han and like a Z6 squad as almost like a distraction unit where they come in and you're like, oh God, I got to do something with these guys. And they're just gunslinging and shooting things and murdering stuff. And you're focused down on them while the rest of the army is moving into position. And so that's something I've been, you know, working on and almost using as a little to a degree, depending on the objectives, the situation, you know, where the map battlefield is and everything, almost being okay with Han being a little bit of cannon fodder and going, okay, he's probably going to die, but he's going to have a noble sacrifice because we're going to win the war.
Yeah. When Luke comes up. So right. Luke is one of the few models in the game that can carry an army on his back if everything else goes wrong.
Yeah.
And I think he's most arguably the best unit in the game.
Yeah.
Easy. Because of everything he could do. So I saw Han. So I put everything I had about 50% of my army into like 30% of yours and just couldn't kill him. Like he just, so my dice were average. Like my attack dice were okay. They were fine. You had one good rollout, happens. And then, but then I just couldn't recover. Like I just couldn't get that damage back in. Cause then Han had a suppression. Like I rolled six damage. You rolled five blocks on white. And I'm like, you know, like I was like, it's like I got rocked. He hit me right in the jaw, and I didn't know what to do. So then Han's harder to kill when he's got suppression on him because he's got low profile.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh man, this just totally fell apart. But yeah, so it was you did a good play. I wish my dice had, because those Wookiees did like nothing to him. I'm like one damage. Like I'd run up with the guns, like pistols in the bowcaster, and it was just kind of sad.
Well, and what I like about I wrote about this in the article was I love his cards.
Yeah, they're all great.
Yeah, I love holding Han and Luke back. Like that's one of my favorite things to do. It's like you saw that with Luke, right? Yep. Like he didn't make any big plays until like he did. Four, and then you're like, oh no.
As soon as he did, I'm like, yeah, you won.
Yeah.
Like that's it. You got it.
Cause he, you know, I just put him in the position. So I like the fact that with that list, I mean, listen, it's got three snipers and a med droid. Two two officer Z6 squads, a Z6 squad with the med droid, two regular Z6 squad, three snipers, Han naked, and then Luke with E-stims and force push. And it's a good list. Yeah. It's real good. And it's got the double threat. I think, though, you got to play it game to game where I've seen this with both Luke and Han, where people get highly aggressive with both of them.
Yeah.
And you just can't, like, they're good, but they're not aggressive units. You have to be tactical with them, and you have to wait and be able to put them into positions. And so that's kind of what I've been learning with Flyboys. So yeah. I'm really enjoying the list. I'm going to keep playing it.
Yeah, you should. It's white dice or white dice on defense.
Yep.
So that's after playing Imperials for so long, you just, anytime you get shot, I'm like, okay, how many am I losing? Not will I lose one?
Yeah. And I think when you play now, and now that I'm playing them more and I'm getting more reps under my belt with them, you just come to terms with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, I think with Imperials, when you lose somebody with those red dice, you're like, oh, for God's sakes. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Like, but with the Rebels, like, I just, when I go into a situation, I'm like, all right, I'm probably going to lose 3 to 4 of these guys.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's okay. Like, we're going to, here's my backup plan. Here's my strategy.
What's nice with Rebels, as long as that Z6 is up, you're okay.
Yep.
With the Imperials, it feels like every Stormtrooper you lose, you just, damage goes down. Even one DLT.
Yeah.
Like, you just like, I got cover.
Right.
But the extra, it's the DLT, I think Dash put it well, where it's like the DLT is like giving them blast.
Yep.
And then everything else is just damage on top.
Oh, that was David Endless.
Oh, because Endless, yeah. So that's a good way to look at that.
Right.
So what, Stormtroopers hurt more when they lose their core guys, where Rebels don't really care as much as Z6.
So what he means by that is that the two from the DLT takes care of the cover two, and then whatever else on top of that is just gravy.
Yeah, it just hits it. Whereas the Rebels, you're like, three hits, wow, good roll, right? Yeah. Like, holy cow, one damage? Yeah, take that.
Yeah, well, and a lot of learning comes with even bothering to take aims with them. Like, you're like, okay, aim, I might get to maybe one out of that. Yeah, so you know what? I'm going to take a dodge.
Yep. Yeah. Smarter.
We're doing it wrong.
Okay, so now we're going to basically just talk about what's on our minds, and one of the first things I wanted to talk about briefly, I'm not going to get into too deep a detail, but, the World Championship was this past weekend. Mm-hmm. They live streamed it. I thought FFG, barring some mistakes and some early on technical glitches and issues, overall, though, I thought the stream went very well. I thought the camera angles were great. I thought I'm speaking aesthetically only at this point. I thought the camera angles were great. I thought the overlays were great. I mm-hmm. thought that they did everything right from a visual standpoint.
Yes.
I think there were some other issues, which I'm not going to go into because I think we spent the last couple episodes pooping on them a little bit. And so I'm not going to do that. So this episode, I'm going to talk about what they do right. And the streams, I thought visually were great. I'm so happy that they live streamed it. I'm so happy that it went well. And it was great. It was just a good stream.
No, it really was. Like, hot take. Legion's kind of boring to watch. Just sometimes, because at
how
high level.
How dare you?
Right. Well, it's all, everyone cares about the dice rolls, right? So a Legion, because a movement is very rarely surprising, right? Like, it may be on a speed or something where they're forced to do something like, oh, I didn't think you're going to go that way. But with troopers, they can kind of just, there's no, like, I've committed to move even though I don't have all the information. So, like, when you're watching high level play, like, they're not doing a whole lot. And it's not that they're not playing the game yet. They are playing the game. They're playing at a very high level where, like, I can't let this guy get out. I need to scope in that guy. How do I get this guy to, like, right? Like, watching Luke and Kyle play, if you didn't know what was going on, you're like, what the? These guys are just staring at a board with toys on it. What are they even doing, right? But again, like, take two classes of jiu-jitsu, you watch ground game and a UFC fight, it changes your whole view about what's going on. So as somebody who plays, like, it's interesting to watch. But man, there's like, it's two or it's like 3 hours or something for that final game. And so you're just like, okay. But on the flip side, they luckily had Alex Davey and the gentleman from Skull Squadron. I don't remember his name. I'm sorry about that. But hey, Skull Squadron, there you go.
Matt Kish?
I think so. Yeah, I believe so. He was super cool. Like,
I know LJ was on for a while.
Yeah. They had like a lot of. It was cool to have. That's a cool part about winning is you got to possibly be on the cast with like Alex or Luke. Like that's awesome, right? Yeah. Like that's super cool. So they had like a really cool. Everyone was really fun to listen to in the commentary. Yep. That kept me interested in watching. I was playing some games with my friends on online, but then I had my phone up just listening to the commentary and like, you know, you hear, you're like, oh, when like a terrible die roll happened or something, or people like clapping or something. Like it was actually pretty good. Like normally I watch battle reports and I don't take a whole lot away from it, but even though I wasn't paying 100%, just hearing their commentary and everything, I just saw the players talk, high level players. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from what my understanding, all the world's players had a great time.
Yeah.
Fantasy Flight really treated them well. And, you know, I think those are things we need to celebrate as much as we've kind of crapped on them in the past. Or I wouldn't even say crapped on them. We hold them accountable. And that's what we need to do as a community. But when they do stuff right, we should point that out as well. And so, you know, the stream, the way they treated the world's players you know, I had a problem before, but while they were there, they treated them well. And, you know, and the other thing that I think they're starting to get right too is all these new kits and prizes support that they're announcing, especially like the Grand Championship we talked about during the news section. You know, they're trying and they're getting there, and I think it's growing. And so I know this is a little bit flipped from what I said from what I said last week, but what's the point of focusing always on the negative? And for those of you listening, listen, we're always going to hold them accountable for when they mess up. I'm not going to do it two episodes in a row, though. Yeah. So I want to make sure that we also give them props for when they do things right. And this was something they did right.
No, I mean, I'm actually looking forward to that side kit. I forget if it's a premium Legion kit. Or a new monthly
the
kit.
One with the dice and the
three
red
attack dice and the full art attack and air land speeder. I'm a land speeder convert now.
Yeah.
After playing it, I just kind of built it. I'm like, eh, I don't know. And then after pushing it, you push it forward, you look at a guy and they evaporate a unit. Yeah. Pretty good. But so that looks cool. The price support's finally starting to make sense.
Yeah.
That's a problem with Old Legion. Nothing made sense. They gave you these like rough looking acrylic tokens, but my story only ever gave you one.
Right.
So you'd have one suppression acrylic. Like, when are you going to use that?
Right.
Or one aim. So, like, and they didn't look as good as the third party stuff. And so, for the first year of Legion, their price support stunk. I'm not even going to, even the alt cards were like, meh, okay. Right. They were all right. But now, seeing stuff like, hey, you know what? Her jaw like Sabine and Bossk. So, if you go to a grand championship, you get a Sabine and Bossk. I'm like, good idea. Right. Or like, hey, everybody wants Death Troopers, man. I want the Pathfinders just because I'm going to be that tryhard who's like, I'll make them good. No, P.S. Spoiler, probably not going to happen. But I want an alt-art Pathfinder, right? I mean, it's cool. Like, I'm actually excited for the prize support instead of the High Command, which was all was cool that was Palpatine-themed. But if I'm a Rebel player, like, there's... If I'm the guy who just says, I'm just buying Rebels. I'm not going to buy both sides. I just want to go in this in a intelligent way to just say, I'm only going to put half of my hobby money into this. You get stuff that you're not going to use.
Yep.
Right. So this is cool that there's actually like, you don't feel like the rally point kits, right. We did a whole thing about that, but like, it was just so like they just threw darts at a board, but now it's like more pinpoint.
Yep.
And now I'm excited.
Yep.
Instead of just trying to hype myself into it. I'm
agreed.
Like legitimately excited.
You know, and then I think I'm not going to get into it now, but maybe I think we definitely have to have a conversation about terrain and the future of this game. And it's just, I'm not going to get into any detail. If go watch the world streams, you'll see the terrain. You can kind of think whatever you want to think about it. And so, you know, I don't want to get into too deep here, but we'll have a terrain talk on another episode. But, you know, that's just something that we need to be aware of moving forward. You know, I think you got to think about not only what they did, but what they in particular are signed off to do, and you have to, and then how do you, when you're put in a box, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's just something to think about. And I'm not being cryptic. What I mean is Lucasfilm and Disney's, you know, licensing rights. Right. I'm sure that had to do with how the terrain was or whatever. So
the terrain they had looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Like what they had, but like you'd think there'd be more like allowed to have like a downed ATST, right? Like,
well, there was sort of.
Oh, was there? I didn't see. I only saw really the final.
It was built into like a couple pieces of the terrain, and they had stories, and you know, Sean Morris did it from Train Studio.
Yeah,
he's
excellent.
Yeah, he does a beautiful job, but I think a lot of people were saying, hey, listen, like this doesn't even look Star Wars themed, and I think it's a licensing thing, if I had to guess. And so I think we need to be. And I'm as guilty of this as everyone else. And you just need to be aware of this, that it's not just FFG, that it's a larger deal. And it's not like fan-made creations that are for free. It's not it's just a whole business thing. And, and we need to realize at some point that this is still a business. I need to be reminded of that. And so now I'm reminding you, the audience. I'd like to talk about the Dice app. So as Evan said, we played a tournament this weekend. I decided to use the Dice app. How'd that go, Evan?
It was shocking. So I was just using Dice, and I've got many mixed feelings about the Dice app, mostly from my X-Wing time. And now that I forgot Legion is on there too, because I bought it because I'm a FFG whale, right? I'm just like, FFG, sure, I'll take it. So I'm going to reference Alex Davey before I give my whole spiel here.
Okay.
That he said, you know, someone's like, hey, the Dice, and I think it was the gentleman from Skull Squadron. And he was like, hey, you know, the Dice on, what do you think about the Dice from Outer Rim? They're a little dimpled, or they're kind of hot. Something, you know, they're just a little different. And Alex's like, you know, we use the same molds as we do anything. And these aren't to Vegas standards. These are for a game. If you truly care about absolute random perfectness, do the Dice app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing a lot there, but that's more or less the cut down. I've seen plenty of people use it in X-Wing. I don't really think about it. And then Jay used it in Legion. And it's really unfortunate that the first roll he did was so good. It was like, I put 6 damage into Han, and I'm like, oh, I got him. Or at least like 4 damage or something. So he taps 6 dice in, rolls them, all but one surge, and I'm like, what? And he's like, 1 damage, and he puts it down, and I'm just like, but no, keep putting them down. You know, no, you go get more, and you put them down. I hit him, but and the worst part, like, your attack dice was like fine, besides like a crazy sniper shot.
That was one crazy.
Yeah,
sniper.
Yeah, that was the
double
overall
crit, but that was.
It was the only thing I've noticed was like, man, those white defense die always had a defense.
So, and this is, and Evan knows, I rail about this all the time, and the scoundrels know this too. I flip out because I get it, man. Okay, mathematically speaking, X, Y, and Z is supposed to happen, right? But when the math is done on dice rolls and how many, you know, what's the percent of a hit? What's the percent of a surge?
Yeah.
It's done in a perfect calculation, a simulation. It's not done in the real world. If for those of you that are Jurassic Park fans, remember when Jeff Goldblum was talking about the water? Is the water going to fall the same way, or will it take a different direction? Chaos theory.
Yeah.
It's this, that is a legitimate thing here that we're talking about. The dice are imperfect. There's bubbles in the dice. No two dice are the same. They all are different because of the way they process them. The board that you're rolling on may have bumps or hairs or grooves or something. The way you drop your dice may get hooked on your hand. There's so many variations in this dice, in dropping dice, rolling dice, that you're never going to statistically get what you should be getting. And so what I would say is, I wanted to see what it would be like if I was statistically getting exactly what I should be getting with those dice.
I demand symbols on my white defense dice? Right. And gosh darn it.
Well, okay. I have a, you know, 2 in 6 chance. So I have 33% roughly. Yep. So it's like, do you ever feel like you get a 33% chance on white dice?
So feels, no. I don't ever feel like it.
Okay, so I would say the games I've played early, like the first match, I was using plain dice.
Yep.
I rolled 0 defense, 0.0 on my white dice. Nothing. A lot of stuff died. I switched to the app. Oh, all of a sudden I'm getting maybe 1 out of 5 or 2 out of 5. So I'm saying that I'm getting exactly what I should be getting. And here's what I would argue is that at any point, anyone at that tournament could have used the Dice app. It is a perfectly legitimate and legal product.
It is. To me, okay, if we're gonna do this.
We are.
Let's do it.
Yes.
I feel like it takes something out of the game.
Okay.
To me, if I'm going to use the Dice app, I might as well be playing on TTS.
You're a purist.
I am. It's just what it is, because I'm there for that textile. I like rolling dice. I like Ameritrash games where you just throw a ton of dice and see what you get. It's just how I like to do it. And to me, to your point is, I now recommend we share dice. Not just with you, but with anybody I play. I go, hey, yep, let's share this pool, because that way there's no, your dice are loaded, your dice are not loaded. We're just doing it. We're doing it live. Do I have a, if someone says I'm going to use a dice app, do I go, will I throw a fit? No. Because you can buy it. It's a legal thing. Like, I'm going to be using the Outer Rim dice for X-Wing.
I mean, you'll throw a little bit
of
a fit.
With you. Yeah, with you. I was
sneering at Evan when he said, I won't throw a fit if you use
That's our relationship, though, Jay. Yeah. That's just how it is.
No, I know.
You beat me because of the dice app, not because you beat me, right? That's
not because I outplayed you.
No, of course not. Of course not. Not that you just, I quit after turn four because I'm like, I can't win this game. You know, will I be using the dice out of the Outer Rim dice for X-Wing? Yeah, I've never won dice in X-Wing ever. I've gotten pity dice. I went to Canada and they watched us, my squad mate Pat and I, fight like roosters over who was going to get in top 16. And instead of one of us getting up there, we both knocked each other out and we both sat there mad at each other because neither of us was going to be fair, kind of crappy to scoop. So one guy gets a boost because it hurts all the other honest people there. So we fought it out. But we were both sitting there miserable and mad at each other because we drove up together and neither of us got dice. One of the guys comes and goes, hey guys, here, you each get one attack die and one evade die. And we're like, thank you. We've never won dice before. You know, like, and we, like, that's what it was. So, is it wrong for me to use Outer Rim dice in X-Wing?
Right. No.
No, it's official product. Yep. They even say, like, compatible with X-Wing on the box.
Yep.
And you know what? Those things are going to roll hot as hell. Not because I want them to, but anytime those things roll a hit, people are going to be like, oh, it's because they're out of rim dice. Every time they roll blank, no one's going to say, oh, it's because they're out of rim dice. Right? They'll only remember, like, the times I blank out, they'll not remember.
Yep.
But the times I get the three hits like I normally would in my three red dice, it's not the same because they're out of rim dice, right? So it's just the same as that. Like, I just don't like the app, but I don't. If someone put it.
Well, you definitely don't now.
Well, yeah. But it's. You know, I've seen our buddy Nick used it, and he rolled like eight blanks on defense with a gin before.
I mean, listen, it was shocking because
it was just a crazy roll. Yeah, it was a crazy roll that
honestly, over the number of times I've used it, and I get the tactile feel, and I get like, and quite frankly, sometimes like I think you saw, like, sometimes when we were playing, I was like, oh, screw it, I'm just gonna roll these dice because. Yep. I don't want to load the app it, but I don't want to get in there and like get the number of dice. I just want to get this over so we can move on. I just think that's the only way if you want to be true neutral and get your actual statistical rolls, that's the only way you're going to be able to do it.
I agree with that. But I also say you won an RPQ without it. You got 3-1 LVO without it.
You don't need it to win.
Like you've done, even though you rolled blank, all those blank evade dice, you still managed to pull that game out.
Yeah.
So it's right. It just, unfortunately, like when I share dice, and I like to share mine because I like to feel betrayed. If I, you know, like I'll throw like three hits and someone's like three blocks. I'm like, of course you would. And then I roll three blanks. I'm like, it's like a fickle lover, right? I'm just like, yeah, of course you would make fun of me in public like this in front of my friends. Yeah. But with the dice app, even when it is statistically giving the right thing, it always feels bad because it's, like a computer, right? I don't know. There's something just weird about it. I can't. To me, again, that's purist. That's me just saying that. Again, when someone brings it out, I don't care. The only thing it really sucks on is when someone wants to do like a dice cam. Someone wants to throw their phone in the box and like roll. Like that's weird. But other than that, yeah, I don't know. I just won't use it. I'll always just use my dice.
Yeah. So okay. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's gonna wrap it up for us. Join us next week. We'll be, I'm sure, talking a lot about the Northeast Open since it'll be the weekend after. And once again, as a reminder, if you haven't signed up, please do email us at thefifthtrooperpodcast@gmail.com if you want to talk about something, or visit our website and fill out our contact form. And that's it, I guess. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Everyone, stay rad.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.